Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we are joined by members of the San Luis Obispo Buddhist Church and the Chimitaiko Drum Group. You just heard two of those drums, and it's just amazing music. It's in celebration of the upcoming Obon Festival. We are joined by Tetsuo Ueda, Mike Ponder, and Julie Conaway, also Joe Lorenzi, Regional Librarian for the North County. Welcome.
Thanks, Brian.
Before we get into the discussion a little bit, I know there's a big event coming up very soon as a part of the annual Obon Festival. Could we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The Obon Festival is happening this Saturday, August 2nd, at St. Patrick's Elementary School from 1 to 9 p.m. Obon is actually a Japanese Buddhist festival in which the Japanese and Japanese-American community come together to remember their ancestors, to dance the Bon Odori dance, to eat, drink, and basically just have a lot of fun. It is usually held during the summer months from July to August at Buddhist temples located throughout the states, but mostly it's concentrated on the West Coast and Hawaii.
So the Obon Festival is accomplished in the United States and Japan, but it's more of a big deal here in the States.
That's correct. The festival originated in Japan. It's kind of a family reunion time of the year. But here in the States, and especially in California, it's really taken off and become a very kind of a big festival, big party type atmosphere. It has that kind of feel to it.
I know that in Japan, they do also do the Japanese Bon Odori dancing, which is a traditional folk dancing of Japan. But they don't do as many dances as we tend to do in the U.S. So we definitely are a little more elaborate and involved.
So the Obon activities include drumming and dance. What other kinds of things are a part of the festival?
Yeah, there's a lot of events that happen during Obon. Some of the main draws or the main forms of entertainment is that there are a number of demonstrations, which include kendo, judo, iaido demonstrations, as well as some tea ceremony demonstrations, and kumidaiko, or ensemble drumming. So this is part of the draws, but also one of the main purposes of having Obon is the Bon dance. And so that's usually held at the end of the evening and typically arranged in that there's a dancing in a circle around the yagura, which is a raised platform usually lit by lanterns, and that holds a drummer, flutes, and voices to accompany the dancers.
The dancing itself is performed by novices who've never danced before and also returning dancers who have learned the dancing. However, we strongly encourage that the audience get up and participate. And typically, by the end of the evening, the last dance is traditionally tankobushi, which is the coal miner's dance. And we pretty much get everybody in the audience to get up and learn the dance and participate. Traditionally very rhythmic in nature. The dance movements themselves are repetitive and fairly simple. So even if no one knows how to do the dancing, they can get up and by the end of the dance, they pretty much can learn what to do.
Tet and Julie, what got you involved in the Obon Festival? When did you begin to participate in San Luis Obispo County Obon Festival?
Well, for me, oboe's always been a part of my life growing up, but I moved to the area in the mid-2000s and immediately got involved with the Buddhist temple here and with and oboe with that. So it's been a part of my life for as long as I can remember.
And for myself, when I was a young girl, I was actually born and raised in Oxnard, relocated to this area in the 70s to attend Cal Poly. Even still, I didn't start dancing again until the 2000s. And so that reminded me, I guess I've been teaching it for probably 10, 11 years. I didn't realize it's been that long. But yes, I danced quite a bit as a young girl growing up with my grandmother and my mother, and yeah.
So Oxnard has a festival there,
yes,
or Santa
Oxnard
Barbara?
Oxnard has a Buddhist temple as well, in
okay.
Santa Barbara.
And you said you grew up in another area that had it?
Yeah, actually I grew up in the Salinas area, and so the Salinas has a Buddhist temple, and there are numerous Buddhist temples along the West Coast, all the way down from San Diego, all the way north to Seattle, Vancouver area, as well as a number of Buddhist temples in Hawaii. One of the things I wanted to mention about the Bonodori dance is that really it's a time to set aside our egos through unselfconscious dancing. And so, again, like Julie mentioned, you know, participation is customarily diverse, young and old, people who've formerly been trained and with no training at all. You know, it's really important that everyone dance. It's not whether or not you know the dance. It's important that you dance.
The other thing that is so nice is that Obon is the one opportunity for those of us who have grown up dancing to actually get dressed up in the traditional Japanese garmentry of either the silk kimono or the cotton yukata, and all of the ties and obis that go with it. It's fairly complicated garment that is difficult to put on, and you never get to wear it otherwise. So I personally have quite a few kimono that my grandparents brought from Japan. It's my one opportunity to dress up and participate.
You're not going to find that at Kohl's or Walmart or anything like that?
No. And they're beautiful, made from gorgeous fabrics. And so it's just not only a fun auditory experience, but visually very stimulating and gorgeous to see the young people, the old people, the small toddlers and babies all dressed up in traditional wear. It's fun.
There's an additional ethnic blending going on in some of the activities around, Julie. Could you tell about that a little bit?
Well, the obon has traditional Japanese folk dancing music. A lot of the dances originated maybe in the early 1930s. Most of them came from various regions in Japan and focused on and depicted the movements of what was the primary living was. So like the tonkobushi dance that I mentioned before was a coal miner's dance. We have dances based on fishing industry. But this year in particular, which is brand new, the first time I've ever heard, we have a brand new dance. It's called Bambutsu no Tsunogari, which translates to all things are connected. And it's a melding of both the Mexican-American community through fandango as well as Japanese American community. So it has Japanese lyrics, English lyrics, and Mexican lyrics, and it's a melding of the cultures. It's a wonderful song.
know, California is an amazing state for a lot of reasons. And one element of our history is that around the 1850s, when gold was discovered, there was probably, this was one of the most diverse places on the planet. People from South America and Europe and Asia, the Native Americans, the old Mexican, the Padres and so forth. So this harkens back to that, and it makes it even more exciting.
Yes. Obon is definitely, it's welcoming to everybody, people of all walks of life. And so we just love to see everybody come out and participate, whether it's in actually getting up and dancing or just experiencing the Japanese cuisine, the arts and the crafts, the various performances and demonstrations. It's a lot of fun for the entire family.
Maybe I can ask a question for both of you. How much time do you actually put in invest in the training of the dancing and the drumming for both of you? And you can answer respectively.
In preparation for the taiko drumming, I mean, our performance season usually starts sometime in the spring and culminates with obon. We take about a month off in the fall before the group reconvenes and trains for pretty much a majority of the year. At the same time, we're also working on the repertoire and preparing for other performances. Right around the obon season is when we also get especially busy, because not only do we have to play taiko, but we also do a lot of other tasks that go to help putting the obon event on in the first place.
Myself and Tommy Kobara, who is the other instructor, we go down to Southern California to learn the dances on a weekend, and then we come back and we practice them and choose which songs we are going to be performing, and then we start practices in July. Always open to the public, and we have a very nice turnout.
And you have a core group of dancers?
Well, it's just Tommy and I.
Oh, okay.
So I'd love to have a core group of dancers, but so far it's Tommy.
And so what does that look like? When you go down south, do other people attend from, and so is it like a conference of Bonadori dancers?
Yes, exactly. There's representatives that come from each various church, and then we all learn the dances at the same time.
Just to kind of put it into the listener's kind of mind, the way the dancing is set up, there's a central yagura, or that raised platform I had mentioned earlier, and then there's kind of like a small circle that's just immediately surrounds that that stand, where the dancers who are familiar with the dances and the instructors and the people who have come to the rehearsals will dance. Then we have concentric circles of people of the rest of the community who come and dance. And you know, if you know the dance, that's great. If you don't, basically you kind of just follow what someone on the inner circle is doing. And even that's kind of optional. I think if you're just out there kind of moving around, that's also perfectly fine.
The music is so inviting because it's just a lot of percussion. What Tetsuo does, the taiko type, so it's so percussive and so rhythmic that it's, I think, difficult to just sit down and listen. You want to get up and participate.
The music, is it composed? Are the dances choreographed on paper? Or is this something that just is in the heads of the instructors?
From a drummer's perspective, what we do is we get the music beforehand, and I practice playing to the music as an accompaniment. And then and obviously Julie and Tommy are the instructors, so they teach the actual movements of the dance.
We learn the dancing, and then we practice the dancing, but it's not generally anything in writing. It's just memorization. But like I said, you don't even have to know the dances, because it's typically just short groups of movements that are repeated over and over and over again throughout the course of the song. So even if you're completely lost at the beginning, usually by the end you have somewhat of an idea.
What is the goal of the community joining you to dance, historically or even for the event itself?
One of the things I had mentioned earlier about obon is that it's really a time that the Japanese and Japanese-American community that can come together, that they can remember one's ancestors. And so that's one of the guiding kind of principles. And what exactly does that mean? From the Shin Buddhist perspective, it's a way for us to express our gratitude for our ancestors who have brought us to where we are now. One of the basic Shin teachings is that all life is interdependent, and we are here because of the many causes and conditions experienced by our ancestors that brought us to this country, that suffered hardships, that endured many unendurables. and that they were able to prosper. And now we are the beneficiary of that legacy. We didn't do it by ourselves. So one of our guiding principles is that we express our gratitude to those and we celebrate with joy.
And for me personally, it really is just showing so much respect and honor for all the sacrifices that the previous generations had made. And it's just our way to truly celebrate. So to involve as many people from everywhere with that is, to me, just an honor.
One element of the popularity of this festival here in the United States may have been that a lot of Asian people weren't treated very well in history, and so they turned inwards and worked on their art and their culture to preserve it, but also as a way to stay together and to have community pride, I'm sure. Do you think that's a part of it?
I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, the Japanese-American community really, especially during the Second World War, had to kind of support each other and come together, and in many cases, they were actually forced to do that in the internment camps.
I know my folks were the second generation, also called Nisei. My grandparents were first generation Issei, coming over fiercely, fiercely loyal and dedicated to America, even though they were of Japanese heritage. So as much as, and as prideful as we were, they were of our Japanese culture, they were also really were very supportive of America in general.
Very patriotic. So
very, very patriotic, yes. And extremely grateful for the opportunities.
This is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today we are joined by members of the San Luis Obispo Buddhist Church and the Chimi Taiko Group and Odori Dancers, Tetsuo Ueda, Mike Ponder, Julie Conaway, and also Joe Lorenzi, regional librarian for the North County, San Luis Obispo County Library. Are we going to hear some music now and maybe tell us a little bit about it, Ted?
Sure. The next piece that we'll play is an excerpt from a piece that we play called Kasumi, and it's based on a legend of a castle in Japan that whenever an enemy came to invade the castle would get shrouded in this mist. And during one particular siege, the army was absent. Only the children and women were left to defend the castle. And so what they did when this invading army came is that they gathered all their taiko and equipment and started playing as loudly and as fiercely as they could. And with in combination with the mist, it instilled a sense of fear in this siege. And so the invading army decided to kind of bypass this.
Was lovely and very exciting. If you're listening to this, you could hear it with your ears. I can guarantee you that here in the studio, it was a lot more than a merely auditory experience. I think I might have to go to the dentist. A filling or two might have popped out.
So Tet and Mike are, you know, playing the drums. But it's nothing like you would normally see a drum player there. It almost looks like Tet is engaging with the drums in a very martial way, I guess you could say. He's yelling out things. I don't know if that's coming across. And he's also bringing his arms up together, almost like he's doing sort of like a yoga type move. He's standing, his back foot is postured in the back, so he's really using a lot of his body strength to hit those drums. It's something else. And when everyone goes to the Obone Festival and checks it out, they will see what's happening.
I saw the way Tet had his feet placed, and it reminded me of someone who was going to be doing Aikido or maybe another martial art, very balanced. footwork there.
How closely it related, or is there any relation to the daiko drumming, to something like judo or aikido or something like that?
There's definitely taiko instructors and masters who have lots of martial arts training and use a lot of that in their style of playing taiko. I think every taiko group has a slightly different style of how they play, but there's generally kind of accepted conventions on how to play in certain styles. You were seeing me playing on a drum that was kind of sitting pretty much on its head, maybe at a slight angle, but there's also different styles of playing that we employ when we do play taiko, and there are styles where the drum is actually up high on a large stand, and we're playing horizontally, and there's also styles where the drums are kind of set at about a 45-degree angle, and so we kind of play in an asymmetric style where one side can have a lot more extension than the other. And so one of the interesting aspects about playing taiko is that there's definitely not only is there an auditory, but there's also a visual component to playing. And so there's also a lot of dance and choreography and movement that's involved in playing taiko. And that was probably some of what you were kind of referring to earlier.
And I saw on the Facebook page that there's one position where you actually sit and it looks like you're doing a constant sit-up while you're hitting the drums. That must not be easy.
Yeah, that's called Yatai Bayashi, and it's based on a festival in Japan in the Chichibu region. Typically, when in this style of play, there's a drummer that are in these large floats that are playing in this formation, but you don't get to see them because they're so high in these floats, and so all you do is you hear the sound of the song. And they use that song to kind of help dictate the movements of this float down a street. But it's also, again, played at a festival time. And this is also a piece that was that's been popularized by Kodo and other professional taiko groups.
Joe, I can't let this opportunity pass. How do you see this kind of programming, both what we're doing today and the music in the community, ethnic music in this case? How do you see that as part of the library's mission?
Tet has visited the library on multiple occasions, and I think what a great service they're doing for our community to come out and talk to the kids and the adults and whoever wants to get involved. It is really making Japanese culture come alive and the books to get children interested in American culture. Tet's group is part of a group that we have come to our libraries during the summer reading program, and they do a phenomenal job.
So a library isn't just a place to borrow a book?
Nope, not in my mind.
Shucks, I'm shocked. The tradition of this dance is really a part of, I guess, the United States, and I think it's significant that Buddhism itself is not only a very ancient religion, but has been somewhat of a world traveler, really starting in India and going to China and then Japan and here and beyond. I imagine there's Buddhist temples pretty much everywhere in the world. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a number of different kinds of Buddhism. And so what we, at the San Luis Buddhist Temple, we follow a sect of Buddhism called Jodo Shinshu or Shin Buddhism. And so it got its origins, I think, 500-600 years ago in Kyoto, Japan, and came across to the U.S. And there's an organization called the Buddhist Churches of America, and that's mainly based in this one sect of Buddhism that came from Japan. And it's probably the most, I don't know if it's the most popular or the most widespread in the States. I mean, not to say that there aren't. There's obviously Zen Buddhism and other forms of Buddhist followings.
Heard the term Pure Land, is that part of it?
That's another way that's also described.
But it has a religious background, but really it reaches beyond, way beyond religion or spirituality to culture and welcoming and honoring. What if you have a scary ancestor that you're not too happy about visiting? Is there any little special thing for that, like a song? I have a few. So. I'm wondering.
I'm not aware of any.
No.
No. That's never been brought up.
Okay. Well, something to work on.
Yeah.
You just invite them all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, invite them all and see what happens.
Everybody's invited.
Now, it does happen at night, right? Because the ancestors are more likely to appear at night.
Yes, that's true. That's true. The dancing itself is typically in the evening, and that's when our Obon festival, the dancing is going to begin about 6:15 in the evening. The taiko performance is going to be shortly before that at 5:00.
We need to know when the Obon festival takes place again and where it takes place.
It's going to be located at the St. Patrick's Elementary in Arroyo Grande on Saturday, August 2nd. It begins at 1 o'clock. There'll be all kinds of food and crafts and games and something for everybody to enjoy. A lot of homemade Japanese foods by the temple members.
This has been Brian Reynolds, San Luis Obispo County Library volunteer for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today we have been joined by members of the San Luis Obispo Buddhist Church, Ichimi Taiko Dancing Group, and also Drumming Group, Tetsu Ueda, Mike Ponder, Julie Conaway, and Joe Lorenzi, Regional Librarian for the North County Branch of our County Library.